as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. This is where an unclean sinner can be made right with a holy God. This is the bridge that is made from God's standard to man's putrefaction, the bridge that crosses over from man's unworthiness to God's absolute holiness. And that bridge was Calvary. That bridge was the work of our Redeemer. From the nails that were driven into his hands and the blood that poured out until he expired crying, "It is finished." What was finished? Well, here we are again behind the microphone to bring you the message of the gospel. I trust that today God will speak to your heart and bring you to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. We are looking again at the Psalm 40, the psalmist David speaking of him being faithful to preach in the congregation the great message of the gospel. And that is our privilege. We look forward to that in just a few minutes. Firstly, our question of today: what do Free Presbyterians believe about the deity of Jesus Christ? Well, three words: he is Lord. Three more words: he is unique. And then a short sentence: he is God and man in one person. Yes, our Lord Jesus is altogether God and altogether man in one person. Never was there a man like this man. Never man spoke like the Lord Jesus. Never man had more authority over men, and yet had more sympathy for sinners in their lost condition. His works testify of both his humanity and his deity. He entered into everything that is human, and yet his supernatural powers tell us that he was altogether God. His works, of course, include his power to calm winds and waves that were threatening the experienced sailors on Lake Galilee. He healed multitudes, and he raised up the dead. His greatest of all works was to forgive sin. To this, the Jews raised objections by asking, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" They were quite right in that conclusion. To forgive sins that are committed against God, and sin is always against God, for he is the moral ruler of our lives. But the forgiveness of sin can only be authorized by God himself. The truth that they were blind to was that Jesus, who was standing right in front of them, was himself God. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is the Son of God, whom the Father sent down into this world to save his people from their sins. There was no one else who could save us. He is called the Word of the Father, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was much more than a prophet or a holy man to speak to the people. In his unique unipersonality as the God-man, he came in the flesh to save his people from their sins. He possessed all the attributes of God. Only an omnipotent person could do such miracles. Only a fully omniscient person could read the hearts of men. Only an eternal person could live, die, and rise again in the power of an endless life. He now dwells at the Father's right hand and will return again in power and glory to judge the world. This office with the power of judgment was given to the Son by the Father in reward for his redeeming work on the cross. Jesus' blood is of divine value. It is all-powerful to cleanse our souls. The blood of Jesus is effectual to save all God's elect none can be lost who are saved by his cleansing power. Christ is greater than Satan, for he spoiled him when on the cross and put the wicked one to flight. Christ is more than an angel, for to him all angels bow to worship. He is more than an earthly king, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And he did not take an earthly crown, but Christ's crown is in glory, where he is worshipped day and night. Never fear to trust in the Lord Jesus, for he is always higher than our expectations. He exceeds any honor or worship we can ascribe to him. As head of the church and husband of the bride, he is the wonderful lover of our souls. No man loves as Jesus loves. No man stoops so low to take his friend so high as the Son of God. From the guttermost to the uttermost, the Lord Jesus saves sinners. Yes, it is true. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And that is a tribute to his love, his humiliation, and to his saving interest in his people. Trust him today, and he will be your Savior too. To say that God is righteous means that he is perfectly upright, straight up and down. And that uprightness permeates all of his perfections or attributes. His justice is absolutely straight up and down. His goodness, his love, is a perfectly upright love. God cannot bend to one way or to another way as he administers or bestows that love upon a soul. His truth is upright truth. There is no half truth, no measured truth. He cannot waver even a nanometer to the right or to the left in his uprightness. With God, the hand of justice is always at 12 o'clock, straight up and down. God cannot be half just, and he cannot be 1 minute off the noon position. He cannot ever so slightly remove himself from being in that total, perfect, meridian, noon hour spot of righteousness, because he is absolutely, perfectly holy. You might say, preacher, where did you get that illustration from? That God is like the 12 noon clock, hand of the clock, straight up and down. Well, I got it from James chapter 1, 17. I want you to turn to that very important passage on the nature, the righteousness, the justice of God. James chapter 1, and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. I want to introduce you to a Greek and a scientific term. It is the term parallax. The word variableness, behind that is the Greek word parallax. When the sun at the equator, and you have to be at the equator to get this truly, at the noon hour on the equator, when the sun shines from that very center point, the parallax, and that beam of the sun shines downward, there is no shadow created because it is perfectly up and down. When the sun is tilted, go away from the equator or away from the noon hour, the sun is tilted and a shadow is created. But when the sun is straight up and down at the equator at noon hour, no shadow. And it says here in James 1:17 that with the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's our God. That's the God whom we worship, and that's the God of righteousness, who is perfectly upright. The Psalm 113 tells me, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven. Now, I honestly don't understand that. But the Bible tells me that God's holiness exceeds the holiness of heaven. That God, who is self-existent, God who is himself perfect in every way, when he looks down into the heavens, when he sees the angels, when he sees the glorified saints, when he sees the streets of heaven, God humbles himself to look upon it. That's the holy God that we're dealing with as we worship him today. The book of Titus tells me that he's the God who cannot lie. Can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Indeed, there are a number of things with him, with God, it's impossible. He cannot tolerate sin. It's impossible for God to look upon sin and be happy with it. He calls it an abomination in his sight. God, therefore, cannot shut down hell. Hell is because God is holy and because his creatures are unholy. And because of his justice, his perfect, inflexible, upright character, sin must be punished. That is the absolute truth of righteousness. And I have to preach these things to you, or I fall into the temptation of refraining and holding back the truth of God whom we worship. Now, we must grasp the magnitude of worshiping a God of absolute holiness. We ought to be like Moses standing at the burning bush where he heard the voice, "Stand back, remove the shoes from off thy feet, for the ground upon which you stand is holy." Do you grasp that today? And you're sitting in church under the banner of Christ, who is the Son of this ever holy God. But one day you're going to stand at his judgment seat, and the flashing eyes of infinite justice is going to search you through and through and determine whether you be fit for the kingdom of heaven or whether hell, separation from God for all eternity, is your destiny. This is what it means to preach righteousness. You say, "But preacher, that's Old Testament stuff." No, look at 1 Peter 1:16. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God did not change his meridian perfection when he crossed the line from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's the same unchangeable, infinitely just God. Now, I come to preach the righteousness prescribed by God. As I mentioned that text, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And that verse ought to, well, it ought to first of all scare you, because that's God's standard, but it ought to rejoice you, because it's possible for you to be as holy as God is holy. Just think on that. What a prescription. What an amazing thing. We are told that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. But there's thousands in heaven already, and an innumerable company who shall be there. And so this holy standard is possible. Now, I've said that hell is the necessary result of souls that have sinned against God. You cannot do away with hell. God himself cannot do away with hell. But that brings me now to Calvary. It became the necessity of a righteous God who would give his righteousness unto us. Now the Lord Jesus came into the world to be our righteousness. Matthew 3:15, He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And He said, suffer it to be so now that I may fulfill all righteousness. Some were saying, you don't need to be baptized. You don't need to go through this ceremony. But Jesus insisted, let it be so that I might fulfill all righteousness. And so the Lord Jesus in His lifetime fulfilled it. Then on the Sermon on the Mount, when He was preaching, He said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. That was the standard that the Lord Jesus came into the world upon. But the Lord Jesus kept the law. He fulfilled all righteousness for us, so that His righteousness, His perfections, are given to us. Righteousness possessed by God, righteousness prescribed by God, then righteousness provided by God. And in the mercy of God, He has provided a way for you and me to be rendered absolutely, perfectly just, declared righteous in His sight. And so this preacher in Psalm 40, David perhaps in his day, but the Lord Jesus in His day, he preached God's provided righteousness. One of the great texts of the New Testament is 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it deals with this whole matter of the transfer of God's righteousness to men. We're going to read this backwards. We're going to read verse 21, then go back to verse 20, and then we'll go back to verse 19. So, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For He, that's God the Father, hath made Him to be sin for us. That's what happened at Calvary. That's what happened when Jesus was dying on that cross. God made His Son to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? He personally knew no sin. He was not dying for His own sins, but for our sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Do you see it now? We have God's absolute inflexible standard. We have God saying, this is the work Jesus came into the world to do. And here in this text, we're saying, God did this that you might possess the righteousness of God in Christ. And then back to verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. This is where an unclean sinner can be made right with a holy God. This is the bridge that is made from God's standard to man's putrefaction, the bridge that crosses over from man's unworthiness to God's absolute holiness. And that bridge was Calvary. That bridge was the work of our Redeemer. From the nails that were driven into His hands and the blood that poured out until He expired crying, it is finished. What was finished? The work of providing a righteousness for you and me. And there is the mercy, there is the loving kindness of God, that He would send His Son to bear the price and fulfill that work of righteousness. Now, it's provided by God, but it is applied by faith. It is received by faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And if I am going to be a preacher of righteousness, and I want to be faithful, not holding back. I want to tell you how holy God is. I want to tell you how sinful you are. And I want to tell you the bridge that Jesus spanned, the gulf between the two. And I want to tell you how to cross over and enjoy all the righteousness of God in your heart and life. You accept the gift by faith and faith alone. And when we get to the Reformation Sunday, somehow we'll deal with the battle that went on between the Protestant reformers and Roman Catholicism. Rome said that righteousness came by the water of baptism. Rome said that it came in the very confessional box when a priest pronounced a pardon. Rome said that a soul can get right with God by his own works and efforts, by the infusion of grace into his life. The Bible says that we are justified by faith alone. And that became the gospel herald cry that began the Protestant Reformation. Now, do you get it? Do you get it today? Do you understand that a church can't make you right with God? A preacher can't make you right with God? You, your own works, cannot make yourself right with God. You have to come the way that God's provided, by his Son, by the cross, and by believing, receiving, accepting what Jesus has done in your stead. And I have a warrant here to preach this to you. I can say today authoritatively, on the firm ground of the Bible, there is a righteousness for every sinner that seeks salvation. It's available. It's provided. It's full and it's free. And it's received by faith. Now I'm asking you, will you believe this? I'm calling you to your own personal trust in that work of a provided righteousness. That's how you get saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you pass over from the path of unclean to being fit for the kingdom of heaven. Believe in your heart that God hath raised his Son from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Will you believe? I ask you personally, come, believe. Trust the Lord today. Now that brings us to the trembling prayer of the preacher of righteousness. And if you look at verse 10 back in Psalm 40, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not. And here's the prayer now. Verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. And because he has been faithful in his preaching, he expects mercy from God. If you look at verse 13, you will see it ends with, make haste to help me. And if you look at verse 17, it says, thou art my help and my deliverer. And when you get an understanding of God's way of righteousness, and you call upon God to do this for you, he will help you. He will carry you through. And this can be the expectation of the gospel church. God will help. He will deliver from all our oppressors. Preaching righteousness will not be easy. But when we are faithful to the message, we will have God's help. And we will have his Spirit with power. And I pray that today, that God, the Holy Spirit, will minister to your heart, that when my voice is silent, that you will hear that little preacher in your heart saying, open up, and the Lord Jesus will come in and make you and change you and save you fit for the kingdom of heaven.
I do appreciate the opportunity to bring God's message to you today, wherever you are, and I hope you understand that Jesus is indeed our bridge to the Father. I remember reading a gospel tract with an illustration of a bridge between two gulfs, and there is man walking along, and without that bridge, there's no way over. When the Lord Jesus came into the world and suffered on a cross, he made a bridge. He opened up a way that sinners might pass from this world into heaven and receive the grace and the reception of the Father into heaven. But without a Savior, there is no bridge, and you can never be saved. I hope, too, today that you understood that a priest, no matter his religion or stripe, one who calls himself a priest, that means a man who does sacrificing or has some offering to present to God. There is only one priest, and that is the Lord Jesus. There is no earthly priest today because Christ finished the work. His one death is all finalized. The whole Protestant Reformation was fought on that point, that Christ is the priest, and there is no earthly priest. There is no man on earth who can forgive sins. The Jews were quite right to ask, who can forgive sins but God? And when they did, well, the Lord Jesus was the answer, because he was God in the flesh, and thereby could offer himself for our salvation. And that brings us to the question of how a man is justified in God's sight. And we need to know the doctrine of justification by faith alone. There are no works in the world that can save your soul. Your works are polluted. Your best efforts, even your prayers, your attempts at worship and devotion, your self-righteousness. The book of Isaiah, this prophet Isaiah, says that they are but filthy rags in God's sight. You need the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus transferred to your account. His beauty, his works, his obedience to your account. That's the answer. And I beg you, I plead with you today to cease from working your way to heaven. Cease from your own vain attempts that will never be enough, will never be satisfactory, but yield to your real need of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus and trust in him alone. And again, if I can be of personal help in your desire to trust the Lord, if I can speak with you, pray with you, feel free to give me a call, send me an email, write me a letter. All the announcements are coming up, and these details will be available for you just now. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of his precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of his word.